if you will. I came up last time, last service. I always feel rushed when I preach because people, we just think time because Sunday morning's a time frame. So I'm not rushed right now. I don't feel rushed. Last service, I come up and went, I want you to go to Colossians chapter 3 with me, please. Would you? If you could. If you have a Bible. I don't know if you guys have the ability to put scripture up there. If that's not putting you on the spot. If you can, that would be great. If not, that's fine. Just turn to your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3. Can they put scripture up there?
They're looking at it right now.
Okay. If you can you? Do you have that technology? If not, just tell me. No? Okay, don't get mad at me, man. You sat in all my sessions. You won't get mad at me. If you can, New King James Version would really bless me because it's just what I read all the time because I don't like the thou shalts and wilt nots and all that. But it's what I quote. I always quote because I read King James all the time. But Colossians chapter 3, would you go there with me if you could? And this is an amazing section of Scripture. All weekend I've been on a tone. All weekend I've been crying out from the rooftop a tone. The reason I come here, the reason I travel, I don't travel. I explained it. It's not a way of living for me. I didn't come for an offering. I really believe what I'm preaching. I believe it's for us. And I believe it'll make a difference in our lives and we'll represent him clear and right and impacting and powerful. And if we as a people would lock arms and run in a truth, I think the earth could get really touched by the glory of who God is. Because you could go to church for the rest of your life and every church seat could get filled this morning all across the nation and it won't change the world. What'll change the world is becoming love. What'll change the world is your life being transformed by who he is so that who he is begins to live through your life. It's you going to work born again. Not a passport to heaven, you going to work born again. We didn't pray a prayer to go to heaven. That's what we're taught all the time. Heaven comes into us. We put off the old and we put on the new. We become new creatures in Christ. Old things have... Why is that always just the sins we committed? Why isn't that the attitudes we walked in and the motives we lived by? He didn't say some things pass away. He said all things pass away. He's talking about your mind, your emotions, your tongue. One of the biggest traps in our lives is we think the way we've grown up is normal. And it's not what we were created to be. Like we say, well, God gave us emotions. God did not give you the emotions you grew up with. He is not responsible for that. Please don't blame him for the craziness we've all lived in. He didn't give us our emotions. Adam gave us those emotions. We were born into Adam. Romans 5 teaches it very clear. We were born into Adam and we must be born again. So the purpose of born again is to get out of Adam and back into him. We've turned it into a self-serving prayer that blesses us in the end. But we struggle like hell through the earth. It's just not the truth. I didn't just swear. I just made a comment. Just please don't get offended. It's not Christianity. Christianity is not a survival kit. I'm not trying to make it. Are you with me? At least you guys smile. First service, we got to pray for them guys, man. First service, man, they're like, I didn't see one smile first service. So, yeah, you guys, yeah, I feel a little more relaxed now. Okay. See, here's the truth. Honestly, I'm not being audacious and I'm not being proud. I don't care if you smile. I am so convicted by what I preach. I've lived it for 23 years. He's inside of me and I'm excited about it. He's taught me how to love. He's taught me how to not be discouraged. He's taught me how to not take life personal and not let people bother me. Nobody's getting under my skin. I got new skin. I ain't waiting for you to change. I want him to change me so I can see you through him. That's why he came. He came to put who he is inside of me. He did not come to bless my daily circumstances and get me to pray and be more self-conscious now that I'm a Christian than before I was saved. And just pray for my day and pray for my stuff and pray for my plate and pray for... This is not why he came, for me to be more self-conscious than before he even came. Some of us got tricked into hearing the gospel and we became Christians for our sake instead of his name's sake. And that's why Christians are discouraged and frustrated and full of anxiety. And that's why they're troubled and disheartened. And that's why our countenance don't shine with great joy. Because we're letting life speak louder than truth, but truth's what makes you free. And we're only doing as good as things are going instead of as good as he is inside of us. So Christ in us, the hope of glory, gets suppressed because we let things matter more than what matters most. And it's not always our fault because we haven't heard a gospel that actually taught us that. We heard a gospel that said, if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. But it wasn't really about dying to yourself. It was about receiving him into your heart so that when the day comes, you're prepared and your name's in the book. That's really the gospel I heard my whole life. Nobody taught me what it meant to die and deny myself and love not my own life unto death. So my attitude stayed the same. I had the same offenses. I had the same hurts. You could still offend me and hurt me. I was still trying to find value through you and didn't even realize it. Trying to find identity through you. Well, I'm waking up to be loved instead of be love. And the gospel changed that for me. And here's why. Because God made man for his image. I've been preaching all weekend, so it sounds like I'm beating the same drum. I am on purpose. Because we got to get this, because if you don't have a good foundation, you can't build a good, straight, solid house. And no man lays a foundation unless it be in Christ Jesus. So let's lay a foundation. The whole reason man's on the planet, if you read your Bible, Genesis 1:26, is God made man for his image. God didn't make man for our image. God made man for his image. God made man to express who he is through flesh. So you have a body, so you have the ability to act out what's on the inside. You know them by their fruits. It's kind of like a puppet show, but it's way more personal than that. So the devil's on the earth. He's cast out of heaven because he had pride in his heart. And he said, I'll rise above God. I'll sit in the highest throne. I'll be a God. I'll sit in the highest place. And God said, well, in Ezekiel, you ought to should have not said that. Boing, boom, he's on the earth. Now he makes man for his image. Satan's on the earth wandering to and fro. Satan's in his own fallen image. He's self-centered. He's hatred. He's full of hopelessness because he's judged and doomed. And that day's coming and he's freaked out by it. Demons proved that in Jesus' day. Are you here to torment us before our time? They fell to the ground and there was nothing they could do about it. So they're rendered pretty powerless, I would say, and they're pretty freaked out, and they have a gloomy future, and they're looking over their shoulder, and they're afraid that today might be that day. Well, they're pretty hopeless, wouldn't you agree? They love when people made in the similitude of God miss the whole point of why they're here and live hopeless. They're pretty angry, wouldn't you agree? They love when people made in the similitude of God miss the point and live angry and frustrated. It's the perversion that's on the earth. Everything is pursuing to recreate itself after its own kind, and each seed after its own kind. You know them by their fruits. We talk about nature and things, and we look in Revelations, and we say the mark of the beast and the mark of God, and God puts a new name and stamps it on the forehead, and the 666 is stamped on people and the forehead. He's talking about the soul. He's talking about the expression. We're looking for a literal tattoo. We actually think there's going to be a graphic 666 tattoo on people that aren't believers. Wonder if it's just the expression of nature and the expression of the soul and the nature of a thing. Wonder if it's the nature of the beast versus the nature of the living God. Wonder if you know them by their fruits. Wonder if you don't have a 666 stamped on your head. Wonder if you just express the nature of man instead of the nature of God. And that's what marks you. Wonder if you're just offended at what people say. Or you're so thin-skinned, you say, well, I hear what you're saying. I just don't like the way you're saying it. So then you don't do what you heard because you didn't like the way it was presented. Even though your heart said it was truth, you didn't like the way the package, so you just didn't open it. Come on. We've learned to live this way. We were told our whole lives, you know, it'd be great if that would happen, but I wouldn't get your hope up. It's unscriptural. The Bible says, get your hope sky high, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Bible's saying, get your hope up. Hebrews 6 says, hope's the anchor of your soul. It passes through the veil into God's presence. The anchor of your soul, hope. And we learned, don't get your hope up. You ever heard these phrases? Hey, what you see is what you get. The Bible says, don't ever live by what you see. It's subject to change. The things unseen are eternal. Total opposite of the language we were growing up with. Why? We were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were born into Adam and we were raised by the wisdom of men. Yeah? You were taught by sheer instinct if you were done wrong to either get broken, hurt, introverted, or angry and hardened a fighter. But neither one produces life, and every one of them subverts your created value in the image of God. We have our issues, we have our stories, we know why we're this and that and whatever, and you shouldn't have said that. Well, I'm hurt. Well, how come? Well, if you wouldn't, I would have never. We've all been professional at it without studying. The trouble is we think it's normal and it's all perversion. And the Bible says to put it all off and put something new on. And that's called Christianity. Actually, Christianity means Christ-likeness, little Christ-like ones. So Christianity has very little to do with church attendance. The reason we gather together is to say, how we become a part of something, we're believing something, we're going to stir one another in this thing and in love and good works. But we don't go to church, we are the church. I'm not being technical, I'm being real. We don't go to church, we are the church. We assemble ourselves together to stay stirred up in the truth that we all believe and live. Are you with me? So I guess that should challenge unforgiveness and animosity and bitterness and all the anger and the frustration we express sometimes to one another. I guess we probably ought to take a look at that and say, what do I really understand and what's happened to my life and how am I new? See, your emotions all flowed out of a wellspring that was self-centered. The biggest blight on the earth right now is that humanity wakes up and thinks for itself. Would you agree that many people become Christians for their own well-being? Would you agree that you've seen Christians frustrated at God and mad at God because prayers didn't get answered and things didn't work the way they were hoping, praying, fasting, and believing? So now they don't even pray anymore because they're mad at God because they don't understand and he isn't as faithful as he says. Did you ever see anybody like that? Did you ever see anybody say, well, I don't even talk to God anymore because we just have issues right now. We're just working through some things. We're just not on right now. That's a sign of somebody that has no clue why God sent his son and they still think it's all about them even though they've sung it's all about him. Come on, you die to yourself. You deny yourself. Why? Because living for yourself is the biggest lie and the biggest blight on the planet. You cannot be a Christian for yourself. You have to be a Christian for his great name, or it's not Christianity at all. He said in Ezekiel, he said, you know what? He said, my people went out among the nations, and everywhere they went, everywhere my people went, they profaned my name everywhere they went. He said, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring them all back and assemble them together. And I'm going to put a new heart in them. I'm going to put a new spirit in them, a new heart in them. I'm going to take out the heart of stone. I'm going to put in the heart of flesh. And I'm not going to do it for their sake. I'm going to do it for my great name. Man. We teach if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer so you're covered. He said, if you want to follow me, you better deny yourself, pick up your cross, and then you're following me. See, if you don't deny yourself, you'll never pick up your cross. What's pick up your cross? You never let sin against you produce sin in you. You never let a thing that happened in your life give you a right to express something outside of who he is. You overcome evil with good. You never repay evil for evil. You tone down a harsh word with a kind word. You don't snap back. Love covers a multitude of sin. These are all scriptures. I found it in my Bible. He hung on the cross and he said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. We say, oh, they know exactly what they're doing. They know just how to push my buttons and I'm tired of it and I'm praying that they stop pushing my buttons. And I'm thinking, why aren't you praying to go buttonless? See, here's what happens to us. We get tricked. We don't realize how self-centered we've been deceived into being and we just think it's normal because it's all we've known from the time we were born. From the time you were born, you needed loved, you needed valued, you needed accepted, you needed stability. You had no clue who you were from the time you were born. You were learning along the way, but you were learning a lie. And at a very young age, you were nothing more than how you responded to how it unfolded. That's why people cleave to their story so much, whether it was good or bad, because it's the only sense of identity they have is their story. That's why people write books all about me, and this is my story, and this is what I've been through, and this is my journey, and this is my, and I'm not saying you don't treasure your testimony in a healthy sense, but so many people find their identity behind them that they never have a present and a future. Tomorrow's always yesterday. That's why people hold on to their past, whether it's good or bad. Most of the time bad, and it's tragic because they say, well, you don't know what happened to me. Well, this was, well, I've always been, well, people just don't, well, they don't see the best of me. Well, even my own parents didn't. And all of a sudden this lie brews up, and all of a sudden you can't even receive the gospel because this is who you are. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 this is who you are. And there's something new needs to come, but you got to do something. You got to come to me by faith and put off the old and put on the new and realize everything about yesterday needs to die so this new thing can flourish in your life. See, the gospel is all about transformation. It's not about well-being. There's times Paul didn't have enough to do what he was called to do. He said, none of it changes me. None of it changes me. I don't count my own life dear so I can fulfill the will of him who enlisted me. Come on, that's not, man, I'm not mad at America. Trust me, I think we're an amazing country. But let's not get Americanized in our liberties, and let's not become American Christians. Let's become Christians. Let's not live for convenience and blessing and provision and protection. And if those things don't happen, we lose our disposition. Guys, that's idolatry and a dead giveaway. And it means we're only Christians for our own self. I want to read something to you. You guys good? You still smile? Say, love you, Dan. No, you don't have to say it. Listen, people go to churches. I've heard this in my life. Do you ever hear this? They say, do you ever been over to such a... Oh, yeah, I was over there. No, I ain't going back there no more, man. That just wasn't a very loving church. Did you ever hear somebody talk like that, say about a church, or I went to this gathering? You know, it didn't seem very loving. And I'm thinking, well, that's strange. It should have been. You were there. See, we always go for what we can get out of something instead of what we become and give to something. Isn't it amazing how you squeeze an orange and you expect orange juice? It's a given. You squeeze the orange, you expect orange juice, and you do the little Pampered Chef little ridgy thing, and you push the little thing over that lets the pulp go bloop, 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 right into the cup, and it's awesome. Oh, and you, oh, and then you do another one. Oh, right? What would you do, young lady, if you put that cup to your mouth and you went like this and it was apple juice in your mouth? You'd freak out. You'd probably drop the cup or go, what? You'd probably call him and he'd say, honey, what were you drinking? Why? Because when you squeeze an orange and get apple juice, it's really weird. Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? Man, that should be weird. That should be so weird. And wonder if the devil's figured out that we don't even know who we are and why we've become what we are and why he actually paid the price that he paid. And wonder if he's actually not bothered a bit about us doing church, singing all the songs, waving the banners, doing our devotions, praying over our food, if there's no transformation in our lives. So he brings the pressure to continually prove that we don't even know who we are and why he came. We just know we need him. Oh my goodness. It should be really strange to squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ. That should be really weird. To be done wrong and act like you were done wrong. To be cheated and live cheated. I found this in my Bible. It's amazing. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says it on purpose so we learn. On the night that he was betrayed, he called a friend and cried and told him all about it. It doesn't say that. It says on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body. And he gave his life and he could continue to cut a covenant. Yeah? And he took the cup and said, this is the blood of the new covenant and it's cut in my blood. Take and drink. On the night he was betrayed, we better make sure on the night we're betrayed, we're not just crying, telling a friend the details and asking for prayer and acting spiritual in the end. Hello? Why? Because you love not your own life unto death. It's not about who did you wrong. It's about who did you right and what you've become because of it. It's about him forgiving you of everything you've ever done, and you don't even have an option for unforgiveness because you've been marked as if you've never sinned, and you see men for their potential, not their faults. Do you think you're forgiven just to be forgiven? Or so you're so touched by the beauty of forgiveness that you become forgiveness? Do you think you received mercy just to obtain it or so that you be merciful because I am merciful? Come on, guys. This is simple gospel. I said it this morning. I said, I'm not preaching something radical. This is just normal Christianity. It's what them old boys understood. They got martyred by the thousands. If somebody got martyred today, all we'd know is fill buses and picket and outrage. Oh, I'm telling you, in this country, we're better at picketing and outrage and protesting than walking in love and living by the Spirit. Because somehow we think we have rights, but how do you deny yourself and have so many rights? Nobody's ever explained that to me. No Christian has ever explained, no leader, no pastor, how we can deny ourselves and have so many rights. The right to be what he isn't, the right to be angry, the right to be frustrated, the right to be unforgiveness, the right to hold people accountable, the right to... Well, somebody got to hold them accountable. It's certainly not you, friend. Chill. Come on, wonder if God thought like we've been thinking. Wonder if God acted like we've been acting. We don't even have hope. Wonder if God's feelings are hurt. And then we say, yeah, but he's God. We're people. We have flaws. Stop selling cheap when you're not for sale. Because he told you that who he is in you. And as he is, so are you in this world. And the things he does, you can do if you believe. And the just live by faith. So wonder if faith isn't just a tool in your belt to get a mountain to move. Wonder if faith is a perspective that you live by and you don't let nothing touch that. Wonder if he puts the word the in front of faith because it's a perspective. It's the faith. It's a vision. It's a view. It's knowing who you are now that he came. And never letting anything change your mind. Is that awesome? It's you understanding that every day you wake up to shine, come hell or high water, whether you're done right or done wrong, he's done you right, and you're going to live from that place and not let this stuff decide who you are. It's waking up every day and saying, you know what? I'm determined that nobody owes me a thing. In Romans 12, I know, owe no man anything but to love. There is nothing greater than love. And if we miss love, 1 Corinthians 13, we've missed the whole point and we have nothing. It says you can have knowledge of all mysteries and faith to move every mountain. He didn't say some mysteries and some mountains. He said every mystery and every mountain. That's the closest thing to Jesus you've ever seen. That's a spiritual icon. That's the keynote speaker at the World Conference. Everybody wants impartation and prayer from that person. And the Bible says if that person doesn't have love, he's missed the whole point and has nothing. You can give all your goods to the poor. Now the poor will have your goods, but you can give all your goods to the poor. And you give your body to be burned. And if you don't have love, you got nothing to miss the whole point. Well, why would you give all your goods to the poor? And why would you do that if you didn't have love? Because you're looking for a name. You're looking to feel good about yourself. People give people a gift for themselves, not for the person they give them the gift. That's why people get upset when the person doesn't like the gift they give. And some people even go to the extreme of crying. What do you mean you don't like that? I thought you loved that color. No. Are you kidding me? I wanted to bless you. I'm not being over dramatic. This stuff has happened in our lives. But I just wanted to do you a good thing. Well, then why are you crying? They don't like the color. It's not blessing them. Take it back. Find out what color they like and get it right. Why are you crying? Because you did not buy the gift for them. You bought the gift to feel better about yourself because you don't have a high esteem and you need people to woo over you and do over you so do over you and coo over you so you feel better about yourself. And it's a giveaway and it's a trap and it's a lie from hell. You find your identity through him, period. You don't find your identity through one another. That's why so many people are broken and hurt in their lives because they're trying to find their value through one another and they're only as strong as the weakness they're surrounded by. They're only good. They're only doing as good as they've been done. We say, I love you. And what we're really saying is, I need you. You're saying, I love you. Do you love me? It's a giveaway. I've watched it. I've not been on the earth a long, long time. I've only been saved 23 years. But man, I've seen this stuff nonstop since I've been saved. That's why I'm passionate. I've seen us do church well and fail to be her. I'm not saying you. I'm saying the church at large. Make sure it's not you. That's why I'm speaking. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to cheer you on. I'm here to say, this is what he paid for. It's possible to live this way, or he wouldn't invite you in and say, follow me. True? Can I read this scripture? Do you mind? They never did get that figured out, did they? What's that? NIV. That's not anointed enough. It's okay. Joking, don't look like that. I said, it's so serious. He looked dismayed. I thought, whoa, NIV is Lord of his life. I thought, what? I'm having so much fun with you, Mac. What? You ought to put it on the altar. Fire! Come on, the altar. What would you do if that thing would go? I would freak out. Okay, look, stop looking up there. I know that guy's, yeah, he's anointed. You can tell that. You can see God in him. Look at his hair color. It's just good. Stop looking up there. Look in your Bibles. Wow. This little word, he starts chapter 3 of Colossians off with. It says if. It's not a challenge. He's not saying if you're saved, then this. It's not a challenge. The little word is a Greek word. It just means since. It just means since you're saved. So don't, when you read your Bible, please make sure you understand and don't hear it in a wrong ear. I said it yesterday in one of the services. It just fascinates me that Jesus was the total expression of truth without one bend or slant or curve, right? Was there anybody more true than Jesus? Was there anybody more pure than Jesus? Was there anybody that spoke more clear truth than Jesus? Was it as clear as it could possibly be because he was the truth? And watch, men killed him, calling him a liar. Why? Because they only listened for what they didn't agree with and could never hear what he said. Your motive in your life is very important. Are you hearing me? People read their Bibles for all kinds of reasons. And then they hear what they want to or need to. They interpret through their motive. The only reason you're to read your Bible is to know him. Because eternal life is knowing him. And when you read your Bible to know him, guess who will reveal himself? If you read your Bible to substantiate your childhood doctrine or to combat your friend at work, you're only going to hear through the screen you're reading with. Hello? But if you read your Bible to know him, do you know how many pastors only read their Bible to preach? So they stimulate your knowledge. If you read your Bible to know him, you can preach out of your relationship. And it's two totally different things. You know what the Lord told me 23 years ago? He spoke to my heart in prayer. I wasn't actually even praying. He just kind of invaded me, and it was overwhelming. It was 23 years ago. I was 3 days saved, and I was overwhelmed because I was like, that's God. I'm hearing the voice of God. It was just overwhelming. It's hard to put into words. But he said, I'm going to put revelations of my love and righteousness in you. You're going to speak to many of my people. However, I don't ever want you to read your Bible to preach a sermon. Only ever read your Bible to know me, and only ever speak out of who I am in your life. That'll carry weight. That's what I'm going to back up. Ain't that something? So I've been faithful to do that. Since you all were raised with Christ, watch this. This hardly sounds like a prayer to go to heaven. This hardly sounds of a promise of provision and put my bread on the water so not in many days it'll come back a whole loaf. Oh, my goodness. The things we use our faith for. It's amazing. You're supposed to use your faith to live in a perspective that he paid for and to crush the works of the devil. That's why you use your faith. Are you hearing me? Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now watch what he says, because he knows where our minds want to go. Other places, familiar places, trained places. Watch. Set your mind. So you got to think first and seek first the kingdom of God. You got to think for the kingdom of God. You got to set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Okay? Watch. Why do you do that? Because you died. For you died. Well, I thought I just prayed a prayer to go to heaven. No. You died. You denied yourself. You put off the old man and his deeds. You're stepping into a new creation reality where all things come new. You're not conformed, Romans 12:2, to the world. You're not conformed to the world. It's ideas. It's philosophy. It's logic. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. I looked that phrase up. It means thinking like you've never thought before. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Come on, this is all scripture. It's so amazing. This thing is hardly attending a church service. This is becoming something. This is living in something. This is getting to like who you're becoming. Actually looking in the mirror when nobody's around and liking what you see without it being vanity. You know what made Jesus so amazing on the earth? A lot of things. But the Bible says to have the same mind, Philippians 2. You have the same mind in you that was in him. Well, that's pretty intimate. God's revealing the motivation of Jesus. God's going to expose what made him tick. He said, you have the same mind in you that was in him, who being found equal with God, meaning a son, part of the family, didn't count it something to be held to, grasp onto, or acknowledged or honored for, but instead laid down his glory, made himself of no reputation. Reputation. Be honest with me. We have sought reputation as long as we can remember. At some level, we've all sought some level of a reputation. People want to be known, want to be liked, want to be valued, want to be appreciated, want a good day, want reputation. And what made Jesus amazing and untouchable is he sought none. Why? He was dead to himself and alive unto God, and he was here for people. So nobody could change him. They treated him really bad, guys. But you couldn't change him. Why? Because he's love. And that's why he's still changing men. Because he can't be changed. Because love never fails. So he's not hurt and offended. He's not sitting at the right hand saying, can you, all these centuries later, can you believe they did that to me? Like, I healed their sick, fed their bellies. I raised Lazarus and they wanted to kill me. These people are off their rockers. I did nothing but good and they called all my good bad. Could you imagine Jesus carrying the cross to Golgotha and getting analytical like we've been analytical? Can you imagine Jesus, just that Barabbas thing working on him a little, striking a nerve? You know, I'm just done. I'm just, if you hit me with one more club, I'm telling you, I'm done. God, I'm about ready to lose it here. I've done nothing but good. Look at me. Look what they've done to me. Look how they've disfigured me. They've done nothing but dishonor and disrespect me. Look, I took it up to now, but Barabbas, that was too much. Are you kidding me? Barabbas, he killed a man. I raised the dead. He causes conspiracy. I'm making peace. And they want to crucify me and let him go? I've had enough. I can only take so much. Look, if these people didn't change by now, they ain't even changing. I'm not even sure why I'm here, why we like them in the first place. They have been nothing but arrogant, opinionated, and full of pride. And I'm just done. I'm done. I'm not dying on the cross. They don't deserve a thing. He would be right. Make an amazing talk show. He'd be a victim and we'd be villains and he'd be right. But he's not right, he's righteous. And he's love, and that's why he can't think that way. We've thought that way a ton in our lives. Why? Because we weren't taught by him. We were taught by the fall of man. So we better get our minds renewed so we can start being like him. Because Christianity is being like him. Can Jesus even say that? Can he even do that? Can Jesus even have that conversation? No. You say, why? Because he's Jesus. No, because he's love. Don't miss the point. Because he doesn't seek his own. And he loves not his own life unto death. Guys, we were born into the biggest lie on the planet. Living for ourselves when we're made for his image. It's the biggest problem on the planet. It's why people are tired. It's why they think life is a challenge and a grind. Life is a gift and a blessing. You get to live in him. He gets to live in you. You get to live by faith at the cost of your life and one day stand before him and bring him honor for that and live forever in him in that truth.
Sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
And faith ought to take you there. Or do we really believe that? Well, here's the bottom line, raw truth. The life you live reveals what you really believe. You can pray over your food all you want, but are you loving one another? You can pray for a new job till you're blue in the face, but do you walk in mercy and forgiveness? It is not about you getting something from him. It's about you becoming something because of him. And if this gospel isn't transforming our lives, then we're preaching something outside of the gospel. And we're allowing something to live that should have died. I'm done. I am. I just gotta read this through. I'm not gonna preach. I'm not gonna hold you guys up crazy late. You guys okay? I'm going through Kathy, not Mac. Are we okay? Okay. No, I just want to be right standing with Kathy, because I love her. She's so awesome. I've never seen you squirm like this. This is awesome. You were so solid, and I just saw you squirm. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. That just made my whole weekend. Forgive me. This was just personal. She is a rock, you know, and I'm impressed by her all weekend, and I just watched her shift and squirm a little. I get nervous. Ah, made my whole morning. Sorry at your expense. I'm having so much fun. It's ridiculous. Set your mind on the things above, not the things of the earth. Why? Because you died. You died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, guess what? You're going to appear with him in glory. Faith says that's true. Therefore, because of this, put to death. Doesn't say manage. Doesn't say control. It doesn't say find a healthy balance. It says kill your former life as you know it. Hello? First thing on the list in every list, Corinthians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Romans, Ephesians, every list of the flesh, Galatians, sexuality is number one. It's the first thing on the list. Why? Because there's no arena that's been more exploited on the planet than sexuality, because it's ruled by sensuality. Put to death your members on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion. He says, your sexual thing as you know it, drive, appetite, you kill it as you know it because it's fueled by fantasy and self-centered stuff and what you receive out of it and get out of it instead of the truth that's behind it. Kill it as you know. There's not an arena on the earth that has caused more pain than what we're talking about. There's no three words that have been spoken that have caused more pain than the words, I love you. That's a tragic perversion. Because the words are used in manipulation. They're used to get our way. They're used in control because we all need to feel loved and be loved and think we're lovable. And the words, I love you, just tend to work even when we know it's not legit. We just let it work because we so need to think that we're loved. I love you. No, I know. Well, yeah, but no, honey, I love you. I really, I'm so sorry. Look, I love you. Yeah, I just miss you. I know I miss you. It happens all the time. And then, yeah, well, you get out of my face. Well, I don't hate you. Well, I don't even know why. And now you didn't hear a text for 3 days. Now you did nothing. And all of a sudden, right at the front door. What are you doing? Well, you didn't even call me. I know. Look, baby, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know, but I'm just so hurt. Girl, I love you. I don't know how to do it, but I just love you. I'm sorry. I'm working on something, girl, but I love you. Love me. Yeah, I love you. You're the best. It's a Hollywood crazy movie. It's all hinged on lies. My Bible, your Bible, his word says you kill life as you know it. You kill the members that have worked through your flesh. Because you set your mind on things above and you're thinking for the kingdom, not your flesh. Come on. This thing is such an epidemic. I'm a pastor. I've done marriage counseling. I've done weddings. I've done premarital counseling. I'm up to three. I know three people, three couples that got married that were Christians that got married that didn't already sleep together before their wedding day. Three in my whole pastoral career. Three. We already jumped in bed. Why? Because we're driven by need, emotion, sensuality, and this covenant and integrity and give myself to one another and all that is mine is yours. It's how you make me feel, not how I can love you. Three, in my personal career, three. We always blame it on the kids and the young people. Are you kidding me? People 50 years old, they're a week out of their marriage and they already slept with someone. Happens all the time, 50 years old. Yeah, don't get uncomfortable that I'm talking this way. It's truth. It's something we ought to look at and take personal in the sense that make sure it's not us. Are you hearing me? Don't get uncomfortable. We ought to be able to talk about real things. Or are we just here to just, you told Jesus, yay. Or do we want to get real and actually start loving who we've become without vanity and start looking in the mirror and liking what we see and going to bed at night without regrets and waking up with excitement in our hearts. Instead of, oh boy, 6 o'clock, back to the grindstone. I sure wish it was Friday. God, I need your grace. And you call that prayer. I'm so sorry. I'm a little late. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, uncleanness, or covetousness, I'm sorry, which is all idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming to the sons of disobedience. That means those who continue to disobey. Don't get self-righteous and proud, because you yourselves, you all walked in this list at one time in your life. But now, you yourselves, it's not a prayer line, it's not an order call. You yourselves are to put off these things. Don't manage them, put them off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, all this stuff. Don't lie to one another. Why? Because you've put off the old man. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. You died and you put off the old man and you put on the new man. Who's he? He's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Why? Because Genesis said, let us make man in our image. What got lost through sin? The image of God in man. Man got cut off from the source of love. And instead of being love, he became in need of love. We were all born into that deficit, into Adam. We were all born into needing love. Jesus comes, removes the lie, puts the truth on us. We're restored back, grafted in, back into the source of love. Now we can be love. Because we've been love and we don't need love. We become love. It's the whole purpose of the cross. And if we miss that, I'm being serious and extremely adamant. If we miss that, we missed why he died on the cross. And we've done church without becoming her. The goal of our instruction, 1 Timothy 1:5, the purpose of the commandment is love. And if we miss the restoration of love in our lives, and I'm not talking about being loved by God. We're big on love. God loves you. God loves you. Ooh, God loves you. The whole purpose of God loving you is to overwhelm you with that truth so you become the very thing that rescued you, so that you become that expression to the world around you. It's not being loved by God. It's becoming the love of God. That's the goal. The cross of Christ is not fulfilled and paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. It's when his nature is restored back to love. That's the full dividend and the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Are you with me? I'll close with this and I'm done, and I'm sorry I'm late. I apologize. Don't ever call me again. I'm sorry, Mac. You just cut me off for the rest of your life. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God. Are you the elect of God? You better believe it. As the elect of God, holy and beloved. Guess what you are? Holy and beloved. Watch. Put on. So he told us to put off the old man. He already wrote that list out and what it was. So in prayer, you get alone in prayer. Lord, man, my sex drive, my whole sexual appetite, the way I've coveted my wife, the way I've just needed, the way I've said, hey, honey, it's been 3 days, you know, I'm just done. She is not on the earth to serve my appetite. She's on the earth for me to love her like you love your church. And God, I just thank you right now that I'm just calling that dead. I'm done needing my wife. Women, you've been taught that that's a flattering thing. You've been taught that if a man wants you, that makes you wantable. And we don't even realize that men are driven by things that have nothing to do with love. We got to deal with that in our own hearts. See, I'm sorry I'm not more romantic about this. I'm just graphically true and right about it because I've watched too many people cry too many bitter tears. I've held too many young ladies in my arms as a pastor that just came from sleeping with a young man trying to find themselves in the bed instead of find themselves in Jesus, only to get hurt again, defiled again, or maybe sick in their blood. Yeah? I'm just done with it. I'm going to talk plain. I'm going to talk graphic. And I'm going to say, come on, guys. Let's make sure we don't fit this description. Yeah? You're more than that. There's no one on the earth created with the identity to serve you and meet your needs. We're all on the earth for the same reason, to walk in love and to shine as lights. Yeah? Tender mercies, you're going to put them on. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, make sure you file it on a card and put it in the offering and address it to Mac. It doesn't say that. It says, if any of you have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you already, you also forgive. But above all these things, would you put on love? Because it is the bond of perfection. If you don't have love, you got nothing but a confession without an expression. And the two go hand in hand. They don't know you by your confession. They know you by your fruits. Love doesn't seek its own, and it takes no account of the wrong done to it. The fact that we've been so busted up by each other reveals we haven't understood love. The Bible says avoid the appearance of evil. Why? If it's only the appearance. If it's not evil, why avoid the appearance of it? Because men think evil, and he doesn't want you to cause them to stumble. He's so humble. Why do men think evil? Because they're not perfected in love, because love thinks no evil. Ain't that something? So let's put away our old life. Let's get in that water baptismal if you've never been baptized. If you only ever got baptized as a child and you don't even know what you really did, why don't you sign up and why don't you get in there next week and make a public statement to your own conscience and to God and to people around you that, man, I'm done living and incorporating God into my life. He's becoming my life. I'm going to die to everything I've ever been so I can live in the newness of life and everything he paid for. Time to live in Christ. Amen? God bless you. I love you. I got to go. I'm late. And I'm jumping down, Mr. Mack, and you ain't getting me back. I'm gone.
Please come back up here. Here's the question. The question is this. Do you want to learn how to not just go to heaven, but how heaven can come down into you and you can be that love that God wants you to be? If that's something you want for your life, would you just raise your hand and say, man, pray for me. By the way, I'm raising mine too. Okay, raise your hand, okay? So if they're raising their hand now, would you just pray over them?
Yeah, it's like this, you know, like I'm just done living in unforgiveness, guys. I'm done being offended. I never can look at a time when I was offended and it produced anything good or produced life in me or life in another. It's a perversion. I don't care how justified it is. If God was offended, he would have never sent his son. Why did he send his son? Because he so loved the world. It didn't say he was so frustrated with the world. He so loved the world. How can he love you when you didn't even know him and weren't living anything for him? Because he knows who you are from the beginning, what he created you to be. So he sent his son to redeem your purpose, your potential, and your value. And he loves what he looks like in you when you're surrendered. And he believes that picture is worth paying for. If you just make this about your eternal security, you are going to far miss the point of walking in joy and being free and walking in love. Are you seeing? Because when you're self-centered, you're in more bondage than you ever realize. That's where fear lives. That's where offense lives. That's where hurt lives. When you're self-centered, it says, don't let anybody be among you that's selfish. It says, stop boasting and lying against the truth, because where selfish exists, every evil thing is present. Selfishness is a landing strip for everything the enemy represents. We need to die to ourselves so we can live unto him. My days of being offended have ended. You don't think it's possible. I'm telling you it is. The Bible calls you to it. Why? Because I don't wake up for you to love me. I wake up to be like him. And it changes everything. Are you hearing me? Father, I just thank you for your grace in this room. And I just thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. And I thank you that people aren't like overly challenged or shocked today. I thank you they're inspired and convicted and have some things to think about. And even if they have to chew on it, God, I just pray that you bring a revelation to every one of our hearts. And you bring this expression and this change by your grace to our understanding. But God, above all, let our light so shine before men. Don't let any of us have a light that's lit and then put a basket over it through a lack of understanding. God, in all our getting, we're getting understanding. And I believe you're bringing beautiful change to our lives. Not because you're mad at us, because you love us and you paid for it. In Jesus' name, I pray this grace on this house, and I thank you for it.